Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenters for this week, Carmel O'Donoghue and I, John Bourne. Coming up on this afternoon's programme, we'll be finding out about an initiative by the European Commission entitled Safer Internet Day, which will be happening next week Europe-wide on Tuesday, the 10th of February. Carmel will have her personal report on European issues we believe will have a direct impact on us here. We'll have a roundup of some of the stories of Irish interest that have made the European headlines this week. And we'll have some wonderful music from the Czech Republic and Poland for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. Negotiations are underway in Brussels between the US and the EU to secure a trade deal that could generate billions of euro for the Irish economy. The Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, or TTIP, aims to improve trade traffic between the two political blocs. Irish exports to the US in 2013 were worth 500 million euro. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says a successful deal will bring huge benefits to Ireland.
Well, the benefits to Ireland are even more than they would be to other European countries because we already have a lot of American dealings in trade and business. And we reckon it would add about 2 billion a year to Irish GDP and raise wages, and it will make things much easier, in particular for small businesses who at the moment find the whole paperwork and regulatory system very difficult to negotiate.
The EU Commissioner for Agriculture, Phil Hogan, is to treat farm safety as one of its top priorities during 2015. The news comes as figures show that 30 people died on Irish farms in 2014, or just over 2 per month. Kevin Keary from Mount Bellew, County Galway, is an advisor to Commissioner Hogan. He says significant EU funding is now being provided to raise awareness in order to prevent accidents.
Well, farm safety needs to be a top priority in 2015. The number of tragedies on farm is unsustainable. 2014 was a record year, unfortunately. So the Commission has provided funding under the upcoming Rural Development Programme under the TAM scheme to address this matter.
The former Chancellor of the British Exchequer, Kenneth Clark MP, was in Dublin recently for a major conference on the future of the European Union. The event at the Printworks in Dublin Castle explored the implications of Ireland's trading relationship with Britain if the UK leaves the European Union. Among the speakers were Naomi Long, MP, Deputy Leader of the Alliance Party in the North, and Rory Quinn, former Minister for Finance. Noelle O'Connell of the European Movement in Ireland, which is one of the main organisers of the event, says a British exit from the EU would have serious implications for the Irish economy.
It is the subject of intense discussion and negotiation in the UK itself, and it is a decision for them. We in Ireland and European Movement Ireland believe the relationship is of paramount importance, and that an EU without an active and committed Britain in it and involved would be a far poorer one.
This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Consumer prices fell more than economists forecast last month, underlying the challenges Mario Draghi faces as he seeks to stave off a deflationary spiral. The annual inflation rate fell to a minus 0.6%, matching the biggest decline in prices in the history of the single currency. The drop exceeded economists' estimates for a 0.5% slump. Ombudsman Emily O'Reilly is asking the European Commission to clean up its so-called expert groups. These groups create the basis of much EU legislation, but those with economic vested interests tend to be overrepresented, while those from civil society are underrepresented. Now, Ms O'Reilly wants a public call for applicants and members linked to their interests in the transparency register. She wants the balance and transparency that the Commission says it works to achieve made mandatory and legally binding. EU foreign ministers have agreed to extend existing sanctions against Russia until September. At an extraordinary meeting in Brussels, they also agreed to discuss names to add to the list of individuals targeted for EU travel bans and asset freezes. However, they did not agree on imposing new economic sanctions against Russia. Today, the European Court will rule on the now abolished air travel tax in cases brought by Ryanair and Aer Lingus against the European Commission. This year marks the 50th anniversary of the birth of pharmaceutical legislation in the EU. On the 26th of January 1965, the first piece of EU pharmaceutical legislation was adopted, introducing some founding principles that are still valid. Since a large body of legislation has been developed to guarantee high standards of quality, safety and efficacy for medicinal products. Medicines authorised in the EU are of the highest quality and undergo a detailed assessment regarding their benefits and risks before being placed on the market. A new version of the EU Transparency Register was launched last week. This second generation of the register means that any organisation or individual who wants to speak with a commissioner or top official or to speak at European Parliament hearings must sign up with the Transparency Register. Organisations on the register must now give extra information about costs and staff. The sign-up process has also been made easier. The Juncker Commission wants to agree a mandatory register of lobbyists, covering the Commission, the European Parliament and Council by the end of this year. The European Union is increasing its humanitarian assistance to Ukraine by €15 million. This will help to address the basic needs of the most needy in areas affected by the conflict, the internally displaced and refugees, and the returnees who are going back home. Finally, next Tuesday is Safer Internet Day 2015, an EU-wide initiative to promote a safer internet for all users, especially young people. Celebrated in over 100 countries with the support of organisations and industry, parents and teachers and children and young people, Safer Internet Day is the EU's chance to create a better internet. Find out how you can get involved at www.saferinternetday.org. This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Žít podle příručky, nazbírat frčky a postavit dům, tak sousedečům posunout se zas o level dál. Než se chuť trofejí přejí, zasadit strom nejlépe s tečkou ikon, přesně jak ti to radí manuál. Být velký kluk, mít ICQ a Facebook a opustit knajpu, usednout ke Skypeu, zapojit svý data do sítě. Rozpoutat pořádný humbuk, mít vlastní logo a nick, co je šik, a věřit, že jednou spasí tě. Žijem v digihrách, tak boj o skóre na zeď házím hrách. Žijem v digihrách, tak boj o skóre na zeď házím. Skrýt pudy lovce a zaměřit cíl a urvat svůj díl, vylézt vzhůru aspoň na moment. Nekopítat po vozovce, lézt po zádech těch, co došel jim dech, a vystavět svůj vlastní monument. Pak pomuchat silikon popových ikon, dát o sobě vědět a nejít sedět, být vždy tím, kdo
naposled se smál a podat svůj životní výkon, projít pár kol a pak si říct lol, tohle jsem zrovna kámo nevyhrál. Žijem v digihrách, tak boj o skore na zeď házím hrách. Žijem v digihrách, tak boj o skore na zeď házím hrách. Klony, vychovat klony, jen ať teď zápolí, jiní s tvou rolí, předat svoje veslo zase dál. Než tvojí roli zkomolí, poznat svůj strop a vykopat hrob, přesně jak ti to radil manuál. Žijem v digihrách, tak boj o skore na zeď házím hrách.
Little bit of music there from the Czech Republic by a band called Christoph.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Yesterday, the 4th of February, the European Commission proposed to make €1 billion for the Youth Employment Initiative available as early as this year. This change will increase by up to 30 times the pre-financing member states receive to boost youth employment, reaching up to 650,000 young people and helping them get work faster. Marianne Thyssen, Commissioner for Employment, Social Affairs, Skills and Labour Mobility, said our young people need jobs and they need them now. The following is her full official statement.
We are in a number of member states in danger of leaving a whole generation behind us. And this is why I presented in the college today a proposal to speed up the implementation of the Youth Employment Initiative. This Youth Employment Initiative was created to support those regions with the highest levels of youth unemployment. With a specific budget of €3.2 billion, matched by an equal amount from the European Social Fund, it aims to provide support to young people not in employment, education or training, the so-called NEETs. I want to increase the pre-financing with amounts currently around 1% to 1.5% to a new level of pre-financing of 30%. That equals €1 billion. Our aim is to speed up the implementation of the Youth Employment Initiative. I am convinced that this advanced payment can make a big difference for young people, young persons, not in employment, education or training. We want to get them as soon as possible in apprenticeships, traineeships and job placements. With this proposal, we hope to be able to increase the number of NEETs who benefit from the Youth Employment Initiative this year by 16%. This would mean up to 650,000 young people who desperately need help would receive it this year. We cannot wait for solutions any longer. Every day that young people remain unemployed is one too many. The proposal for increasing the Youth Employment Initiative pre-financing will create a positive dynamic on the ground by providing sufficient advance payments to beneficiaries so they can start operations. Indeed, those member states most affected by high youth unemployment are also those that are faced by significant budgetary constraints. We need to help get things started on the ground. Too much time has been wasted. we cannot avoid further delays.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Starting as an initiative of the EU Safe Borders Project in 2004 and taken up by the InSafe Network as one of its earliest actions in 2005, Safer Internet Day has grown beyond its traditional geographic zone and is now celebrated in more than 100 countries worldwide and across all continents. From cyberbullying to social networking, each year InSafe aims to be at the forefront of emerging online issues and chooses a topic reflecting current concerns. For Safe Internet Day 2015, the focus will be on Let's Create a Better Internet Together. On the line to tell us a little bit more about all that is Simon Grennan. Simon, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Simon, what exactly is Safer Internet Day 2015?
Safer Internet Day is basically an EU initiative that is running over 90 countries around the world. And this is the kind of 12th year that we've been celebrating it here in Ireland. And it's all about, I guess, bringing a bit of focus onto protecting children online and, you know, doing a bit to raise awareness about responsible use of the internet and safety issues for children online in general.
And it's going to be aimed directly at children. The whole initiative is directly aimed at children. Is there an age group that they've targeted?
This year in particular, we're kind of looking at that upper primary age group, which is maybe 10 to 13 years old.
Okay, yeah.
And in particular, because I think in the past we've been dealing with issues that relate to teenagers. And what we're finding is that, you know, children are going online at younger and younger ages.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Yeah, so also it's kind of important, I think, you know, to deal with things in a preventative way. And that's why for Safer Internet Day this year, we're launching a primary education resource that teachers can use.
Okay, very good, yeah.
To deal with the issue of cyberbullying in fifth and sixth class primary. And it's not necessarily because there's a big spike in cyberbullying for that age group, but it's more really to prepare them for the world they're moving into when they move into secondary. That tends to be about the time where there's a big shift in young people's use of technology and they start using social media sites to keep in touch with their friends and to organize social lives.
Yeah, and there's a whole host of activities are planned for the day, I think. Is that right? Can you walk us through a couple of
them? We started this last year. We're trying to encourage young people to lead initiatives themselves in their schools. And we followed that on this year with encouraging teachers to support activities in their school. And so far, we have 175 schools who've signed up to take part. And they've lots of events going on. It's almost 30,000 young people directly involved in Safer Internet Day, which is a massive uptick from last year, and it's something that's really, you know, people are really getting involved
getting
in.
Getting behind, yes, indeed, yeah. I would have thought that, you know, again, cyberbullying and things like this was something that we've actually got quite a good handle on over the last while, and that the kids were quite au fait with that, but you think there's still a lot more to be done?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is. You're right in that, like, Ireland kind of is leading the way in Europe in terms of dealing with this issue, especially in schools. But what you're finding is that the more children go online is the more they encounter these kind of risk factors. So, and, you know, with the prevalence of kind of smartphones and tablets and all these kind of things now, that children are going online a lot more than they used to, especially smartphone users. So when you don't actually physically have to sit down at a machine to go online, you're pretty much going to be touching base with your social media profiles, your Facebook and your Twitter a lot more often if your phone that's in your pocket that's with you all the time can give you access to that. So what we're seeing is, like, even though actually their children are using these devices, they're still mainly going online at home, but it's more kind of private access from their bedroom than in the past.
Of course,
might have been in the living room or the kitchen or wherever the PC happened to be based. The focus really this year is around cyberbullying. It's a big priority in schools, and there's a lot of work been going on in the last couple of years addressing this. And it's now what you're starting to see is it's happening at the grassroots level in schools. So in the past few years, there's been kind of changes to governmental policy and then school policy. And now what you're seeing is action on the ground that's resulting from this change. So it's really schools are now being kind of tasked. They're being told you've got to do something to raise awareness and prevent cyberbullying.
Okay.
And they're kind of grappling with this for the first time. So that's why the resource that we're launching today for primary schools is kind of in such demand, because there's a kind of a compliance element to it. Schools are being asked to do this or required to do it. So that's still the focus. Other issues are still there. They haven't gone away. And we've seen that there is an increase in the number of children that are getting bothered by things that happen to them online. The big issue really is still cyberbullying, but close behind it is exposure to content that makes them upset. And that can be, you know, sexual content, but it's also like the violent content around as well. The best advice in terms of cyberbullying for young people is really is, you know, don't reply. If you get a nasty message, don't reply. Keep a copy of it or keep a record of it. This is often, you know, going to speed things along. If it does get out of hand and you go looking for help, the first thing they'll say, just keep a record of everything. If you've already got that, you're a couple of steps ahead. And, you know, talk to someone. So whether that's a parent or a friend or a child line or someone like that, you know, that's usually the first step towards getting the situation resolved, is getting an adult involved in it. And that can be a teacher or a parent. And also, if you've got parents listening to the show, I mean, you can really help by not overreacting or not, you know, not storming into the school looking for a head on a plate when your child tells you. Because what that means is that it's quite a natural thing. We all want to do it for our own children, protect them as much as we can. But what it might do is it might stop them from coming to you again if they think you're going to overreact. So you really want to be, as much as possible, the person that they come to looking for help. But if that's not going to be the case, show them other places where they can go and get help from trusted adults. And we always, like, when we go into schools, we always recommend that they know they can contact Childline and get support there.
Indeed, yeah. So again, Simon, for our first part of call, for people who want to find out a little bit more about Safer Internet Day, can you give some details for us there, please?
Yeah, the site is saferinternetday.ie.
Nice and easy, and the details are there. And of course, as you say, you're going to be engaging with 120 schools, you said, was it?
175
schools. Yeah. Fantastic. And, well, I mean, you won't get around to seeing them all in the one day.
No, they're all doing stuff themselves. We've just been supporting them by sending them out materials that they can use.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Okay, Simon, listen, thanks a million for taking the time out, and the best of luck with the whole initiative. It only lasts a day. What will you be doing then for the rest of the year then after that?
Recovering.
There's a lot of work involved in this, obviously.
Yeah, no, to be honest, it's a showcase for what we do all year round. So most of this is happening in schools all during the year.
Yeah.
And it's just a time we bring it all together and kind of give people a bit of recognition who are involved in it as well.
Great stuff. Simon, listen, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us on Europe Today.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much.
Żadnego z nich nie powiesz już.
That's a track called Rojdke from Doda. Apparently she's the queen of Polish pop music, and I suppose that's enough said about that. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, I want to say a very, very special thank you to Simon Grehan, Website Project Officer with PDST Technology and Education. Don't forget you can check out our support website portal, europetoday.ie, which will have a podcast of today's programme and links to the various issues that we mentioned as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme Europe Today.